It was 1959. I'd been living in Laurel Canyon for a year and a half when I began to write. I was friends with the writer John Killens, who had come to Hollywood to write the screenplay for his novel, Youngblood.
Most of your work needs polishing, but you have undeniable talent.
I didn't seriously think of writing as a career until John gave me his critique.
You need to be in New York. Join the Harlem Writers Guild.
Guy, I want to talk to you.
We're moving again.
Yes.
In his 9 years of schooling, we'd moved at least 10 times.
Okay. I can be ready in 20 minutes.
We'd move where my work was, but this time, it was different.
I found a place in John Killens' neighborhood. You like the Killens' kids, don't you?
I've only met them twice.
Guy, New York will be good for us. It's a place for intelligent people to work, to grow, to think. Do you see?
Yes, Mom.
I truly believed that. That is, until my first night at the Harlem Writers Guild.
I see now what I failed to recognize at the beginning. She walks across the stage and exits. The end.
The Harlem Writers Guild met regularly and without fail. Writers read their works in progress and critiqued each other in turn.
One life, one love.
The title of my first offering, a play.
I found no life and very little love in the play from the opening act to the unfortunate end.
He was right, but I thought they might lie a little.
Who bought any of the characters? Flat and two-dimensional.
If they think you're too sensitive, you won't get such valuable criticism the next time you read.
Next time? There wasn't going to be a next time. I was never coming back as long as I was black and their snooty asses pointed toward the ground. I measured the steps from my chair to the door. I could make it in 10.
Let's have a break. There's coffee and sandwiches in the kitchen.
Maya, I'm Godfrey Cambridge, comedian and all-round funny guy. Now, I thought your play was awesome.
Well, you really are a comedian.
Shall we see you next week, Maya?
Oh, I don't know, John.
You've got potential, Maya. But you gotta work at it. The Guild are happy to have you, but we remind each other that talent is not enough. When are you gonna rewrite? If you fail, you just get up and try again.
I decided to give it a go, sink or swim. If I swam, it would be a miracle. If I sunk, at least I'd tried. And trying to overcome was black people's honorable tradition.
Loy, 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 loy. Hide the crystal ball by the
to pay the rent, I'd found a job in a joint on the Lower East Side. The work itself embarrassed me. People I admired were doing important things. Lorraine Hansberry had her play A Raisin in the Sun on Broadway. James Baldwin had the country in his bald fist with A Fire Next Time. Killens, and then we heard the thunder, told the uncomfortable facts about black soldiers in a white army. And I was still singing clever little songs, only moderately well. So when I finally got the call to sing at the Apollo, where the likes of Dizzy Gillespie, Count Basie, and Duke Ellington had played, I took it, knowing that it would be the last time I would ever sing again.
Run too slow.
I was leaving show business at the right time. I wanted to make people think, to leave behind false concern over sentimental lyrics and demonstrate my own seriousness.
We, the black people, the most displaced, the poorest, the most maligned and scourged, we have the glorious task of reclaiming the soul and saving the honor of the country.
Godfrey Cambridge and I had come to hear the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. speak.
We the most hated, must take the hate into our hands and by the miracle of love, turn loathing into love.
I had heard about the man who had been in and out of Southern jails as he raised money for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
We have to pray without ceasing.
But seeing and hearing him?
And work without tiring. We must know evil will not forever stay on the throne. That right, dashed to the ground, will rise, and rise again.
Strangers embraced tightly. Men and women wept openly. Others laughed, riding the waves of emotion.
Oh, Godfrey, we gotta do something.
I know, but what?
I got an idea.
The Southern Christian Leadership Conference offices were on 125th Street and 8th Avenue, in the center of Harlem.
Miss Maya Angelou, Stanley Levinson, how may I help?
Stanley Levinson was short, stocky, and white. I wanted to speak to a black man about how we, black people, could help ourselves. What was there to say to a white man?
My appointment is with Bayard Rustin.
Bayard's been called away on an emergency. You can speak to me, Miss Angelou.
Mr. Levinson, Godfrey Cambridge and I...
Cambridge, the comedian?
Yes.
I've heard of him. He's very funny.
Mr. Levinson, I'm a singer. Well, I was a singer. I'm a writer now. Well, I want to be a writer.
Come on, girl.
Mr. Levinson.
Yes?
Godfrey and I want to put on a play to raise money for the SCLC. I was at church yesterday and heard Dr. King.
Oh, yes, that was a great meeting. Do you have a theater?
Oh, damn it. Caught again.
Well, not yet, but we've been making inquiries.
How large is the cast?
And again.
Well, we need to keep the cast good but small so that there'd be a substantial amount of money left over for the SCLC.
How long do you need for rehearsal?
2 weeks.
That's a very short rehearsal period, isn't it?
We're going to use black entertainers, professional people.
You're surely not trying to tell me that Negro entertainers don't need the same time as white entertainers because they are just naturally endowed with talent.
Black entertainers have had to be 10 times better than anyone else, historically.
Miss Angelou, I assure you, you don't have to convert the converted. That's why I'm here as a full-time volunteer. What's the play's message?
I hesitated. I hadn't thought of that.
What the play says or doesn't say can be more important than the money it raises.
Look, neither Godfrey or I have done any producing, but we know people, and if Bayard Rustin gives us the go-ahead, that's exactly what we'll do.
Do you know the Village Gate nightclub in Greenwich Village?
Yes.
The Village Gate was where you could find Lenny Bruce, Nina Simone, and Odetta playing on the same night.
We'll be ready in a few days.
Write the script, and if Bayard approves, the SCLC will give you its support.
Oh, total rubbish.
Mom, I think you might be trying too hard.
It had been a week since meeting Levinson, and we still had no script.
You think I'm trying too hard?
I had sat late into the night, trying to create a story which had the complexity of Hamlet and the pertinence of a raisin in the sun, but...
This is important. It's for Martin Luther King, the SCLC, for black people everywhere. I can't possibly be trying too hard.
All I'd come up with was facile ideas, predictable like a cowboy B-movie, and naive like a Sunday school play.
Well, I'm just reminding you of something you say all the time. If it don't fit, don't force it. Bye.
Time and need had me in their clutches. Entertainers who had been contacted were calling Godfrey or our director every day, and they, in turn, would telephone me asking when we could start auditions.
Oh, Godfrey, I can't write the play. I don't know where to start.
Nobody's gonna die if you don't write it.
But I've agreed to do something I can't do.
Personally, I wish a lot of playwrights would say the same thing. I can't write the damn thing. Then we wouldn't have to sit through another bad play. Look, if you don't have a play, then just let them all do what they do. Entertain.
So you're talking about a cabaret?
Yeah. Now, most of the cast haven't worked since Porgy and Bess. Now, they'll jump quicker than a country girl at a hoedown. You could write a skit or two, right?
Well, yes, of course.
Something like Red Fox and Slappy White. You know, I'm Fox, and the other one, Black as Night, says, I'm white. And Fox says,
you're either a fool or you're colorblind!
We called it Cabaret for Freedom, and it was a hit. The Village Gate filled to capacity to see our review. Lawyers, politicians, the Amsterdam News, New York's black newspaper. Sidney Poitier stood up on the table. Ruby Dee and Lorraine Hansberry were there. It was the awakening summer of 1960, and the entire country was in labor. Something wonderful was about to be born, and we were all going to be good parents to the welcome child. Its name, Freedom.
Hi, Maya. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Maya.
Bayard Rustin and Stanley Levinson had called me in to the SCLC, and I had no idea why.
Hello, Mr. Rustin. Stanley.
Now Cabaret for Freedom was over, and although Revolution had accepted my short story in Cuba, so probably in Spanish only...
Maya, you know, we're all proud and pleased at the way you handle the Cabaret for Freedom.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Rustin.
I was still broke.
You kept order, never raised your voice, but when you did speak, everyone listened with respect. You understand what the struggle is about.
I'm leaving the SCLC.
Why, Mr. Rustin?
He looked tired.
I'm having a rest, and it's time for a move. I'm joining A. Philip Randolph to work with the union.
We'd like to offer you the position of coordinator for the SCLC.
Take Bayard Rustin's place? He led marches in Washington, D.C. during the 40s.
Many chores fall under its spread.
He'd worked with the Untouchables in India.
We're only able to pay you a living wage.
He was educated, famous, and he was a man.
Maya.
Well, I can't type.
You have a secretary, Maya. What do you say?
I could think of nothing more gratifying. But maybe my bodaciousness was leading me to a dangerous height where I'd find breathing difficult. And worse, what if I was being used to force Bayard, whose gayness had caused controversy, to leave? And as though he read my mind...
Maya, whether you take the job or not, I am leaving.
Little did I know then that he would rejoin Dr. King and be instrumental in the 1963 Washington March for Freedom. Staring at this remarkable man, Killen's words came back to me. If you fail, just get up and try again.
It would be an honor and a privilege to take the job. Thank you.